The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How might post-millennialism be in conflict or not in conflict with Free Grace Theology? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode. Hello and welcome to the show. This is Grace in Focus, and I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for joining us. Currently, we're in a series where we're taking questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by sending them to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we are taking your questions, not quite live, but I take a question off of a pile, and so it's basically a surprise to me, and it's definitely a surprise to Bob.
I'm concerned what the next one's going to be.
So it's not a live call-in show, but it has the same element of surprise, at least for us.
Yeah, and by the way, you may think, hey, this is an easy matter for them to give these answers or whatever, but the truth is, lots of the questions we're asked are very challenging questions. And so they're not always easy. And one thing we can always say is, well, we're not really sure on that one. Because the scriptures don't seem to be real clear, or if they are, we've missed it.
Yeah. I hope at the very least we encourage people to wrestle with the Bible themselves. If they're like, hey, Bob doesn't seem to know the answer to the question, but I guess that's okay. I can wrestle with it too. And listen, I learned from lots of people and lots of discussions. I learned from a lot of these questions. So I'm happy to struggle with the hard stuff.
Let me give you a real quick one from yesterday at church. We were talking in the Lord's Supper meeting, and one of the elders in our church, Joe Galasio, was talking about someone who was evangelized just before the rapture. So like someone sharing their faith with an unbeliever, and they're telling him, if you believe in Jesus, you have everlasting life. And before he can finish the discussion, or before he gives a lot of details, the rapture occurs, and there goes the Christian.
Okay.
What happens to that guy?
Wait, did that guy get a chance to believe or no? Did he believe it?
Well, he didn't believe it yet, but he hasn't rejected it either.
And then the rapture happens.
Right. And so Joe's point is, what happens to that guy? Does some delusion come, and now he can't be born again? The thing that hit me was, well, of course, that person is going to have opportunities to believe afterwards. But the thing I'd never really thought about was, I imagine there's going to be thousands of people who come to faith within a day or two of the rapture.
Sure.
Because someone is witnessing to them, and they were right on the verge of faith, maybe within minutes or hours or days.
Yeah.
And once the rapture occurs, they're going to continue to think about it. And once they're convinced, they're going to believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because remember in Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God?
Right.
Okay, and you got the preacher? Well, if the preacher's preaching, the friend is evangelizing, and then the friend's taken away, but they've given enough information, then they can be born again. I mean, in my case, Warren evangelized me, and he met with me 5 times. What if just before I'd come to faith, the rapture had occurred?
So what you're saying is the seeds planted before the rapture might come to fruit after the rapture.
That's exactly what I'm saying, and I'd never thought of that until yesterday Joe mentioned it in the Lord's Supper.
Right.
Yes, your point is well taken. When people ask us questions or raise issues, it helps us.
Do you think people will be listening to us after the rapture?
I hope so. Yeah.
I listen to preachers who are long dead, and I'm still learning from them.
Well, I think J. Vernon McGee passed in 93 or 4, and he's still on the radio all over the country.
Yeah, I was just reading a book on preaching from the 1700s, and I was like, man, there's a lot of good stuff in here.
Yeah.
I wonder if that guy ever imagined, like, hundreds of years from now, he'd have an influence on somebody.
Right.
I guess what's the point of that? Keep on planting seeds now, because even after the rapture, they might be bearing fruit.
Yeah, and my other point is, realize that iron sharpens iron. You can help someone else in the body of Christ by sharing your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Joe did that, and I thought it was a
I see what you're saying. The point of your story was not his question. The point was that him asking the question got you thinking.
Led me into something brand new.
And the people writing us get us thinking.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
That was my point.
I'm with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm totally with you there. You listeners are a great help to us, great ministry to us. Except for the people who send us angry letters. Now, even then, they humble us.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Here's a question from Doug. And he says, I've been wrestling lately with eschatology and the different views on the millennium. Well, you know, Doug, what they say.
What do they say?
if you don't understand it, eschatology, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. All right. I recently have. How many times have we used that joke already?
I think this is about the fifth. Yeah.
I think we should keep on using it as if it's new. I recently watched a documentary entitled On Earth as It Is in Heaven, which taught the post-millennial perspective, and I found it very compelling. My question is there any conflict in post-millennialism with free grace? In other words, is it possible to be free grace and post-millennial? So let's begin by defining what post-millennial is.
Yeah, well, I'm not well-versed in post-millennialism. Obviously, post-millennialism means after the millennium.
Yes.
Basically, what it means is all these different millennial views refer to when Christ returns.
Yeah.
And so post-millennial would say Christ returns after either a literal thousand-year reign of righteousness on earth, but without Jesus here.
Yeah, yeah.
Or more commonly within post-millennialism, or maybe nearly all post-millennials, there is no millennium. It's just some period of time in which righteousness is reigning.
Basically, I think on the post-millennial view, just things get better and better and more Christianized, and the gospel spreads, and more people become Christian, and we get this almost like a paradise state on earth.
Worldwide revival.
Yeah, worldwide revival.
And then Christ comes and sets up his kingdom.
Yes.
And that is a post-millennial view, which is extremely optimistic because it's rather hard to look at what's going on in our world today and say, man, this is a whole lot better than things were 20 years ago, 40 years ago,
yeah.
60 years ago.
Yeah.
Look how much better things are getting.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of how the Puritans used to believe this. A lot of Reform people believe it.
I think World War I and World War II put a little kibosh on
this.
The
World War I put a dent on it. I'm trying to think of, have I read post-millennial guys recently? I think they say something like, you know, absolute poverty is down around the world. Medicine is curing more and more diseases. Technology is raising the standard of living. And I mean, Christianity is spreading in at least the developing world, Africa, China. But then we look at Europe and we look at North America and we look at the moral decay that's happening. And there's still wars all over the place, if not more and deadlier. And there's riots and death. And, of course, there's, you know, all the sexual immorality. And so it's hard for us to see that the world's getting better in that sense.
Right. I think you could cherry pick some things and say, yeah, it's getting better. But the question...
The absolute minimum, I think, to be free grace is to believe that salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, for eternal life that cannot be lost.
Right. Perseverance is not required. It's just faith.
It's that single act of faith, and you get eternal life, and you can never, ever lose it. That's the minimum, minimum, minimum definition of free grace. Can you believe that and also be post-millennial? I'm going to vote yes in the minimalistic sense. But then there's a much thicker version of free grace where you're actually dealing with all the texts of the Bible, the rewards and the prophecies and the rapture of the church. And all of that definitely requires, I think, dispensational pre-millennialism.
Right. I would agree with that. But I think what Doug's asking is more the minimal.
Yeah.
Can you be clear on how to be born again and believe in post-millennialism? Well, I would say, and this, I'm not an expert in post-millennialism, nor am I an expert in eschatology, but I would say that based on what I've studied, that most post-millennial people believe in a form of lordship salvation. And so you're not going to find a lot of them that are free grace in their soteriology, in their doctrine of salvation.
You would be lonely.
You would be lonely. But you, I believe, would find some. So I would agree with you. I mean, there are a number of five-point Calvinists, not a lot, but there are a number of them who are clear that it's by grace, through faith, apart from works, and even perseverance and faith is not required.
Right.
Now, that's a small number of Calvinists, but there are a few.
But there's nothing about believing in post-millennialism that requires you to believe in salvation by works or...
I don't think there is.
You know, it usually goes along with this other stuff.
But doesn't this almost always go along with dominion theology, post-millennialism?
Yeah, they're
definitely... Why don't you explain what...
Well, that's a little bit different. I think that was a movement that actually grew up around here by Tyler, Texas, the Theonomists, right? Is that
what
you're talking about?
Right, right.
And they believe that part of the world becoming better is that the Mosaic Law some of the ceremonial stuff gets changed. But for the most part, the Mosaic Law spreads over all the earth, and governments start governing by the Mosaic Law and enforcing that. And that's part of their vision for how the world looks if it's getting better. And we definitely don't see that anywhere.
And those people tend to be very much into a lordship salvation framework.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know for a fact, but that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But having said that, Doug, I would definitely challenge you to rethink the post-millennial thing. To me, that doesn't make sense of biblical prophecy whatsoever.
Well, for one thing, it doesn't make sense of Revelation 20, because Revelation 20 talks about Christ reigning for 1,000 years.
Yeah, that means he has to come before.
Right.
Right?
Right. He has to, in order for him to reign, he's got to do that, and we're supposed to reign with him. At least the overcomers will reign with him. And a natural reading of Revelation 20 doesn't allow for a post-millennial view.
I would also say it strongly conflicts with the doctrine of eternal rewards, which is central, I think, to a thicker, more robust view of free grace. Because how do you get eternal rewards in a post-millennial kingdom? How can people who have died reign for 1,000 years before Jesus comes? Do you see what I'm saying?
Right. Well, they wouldn't. In that view... Well, first of all, I don't think most post-millennial people believe in any concept of rewards in right. the eternal state. So their idea is after the millennium, you get the great white throne judgment, you get the evaluation of people, and I think a lot of them would say the works are determinative,
yeah.
at least in validating that you were born again or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
And you get the point that, okay, if there are any rewards, they would be in the eternal state on the new earth, but... I think most of them would say, no, everybody gets the same reward because everybody's faithful.
I wonder if they've even thought about eternal rewards. Now I need to look it up. I'm going to have to look up post-millennialists and what they have to say about eternal
yeah.
rewards.
And by the way, when I say that they would say everybody perseveres is because in their view, if you don't persevere, well, then you weren't really born again in the first place.
Right. That's a typical Calvinist view.
And that's not to say that 100% of post-mill people believe that way. So
yeah, but we don't know. Well, that's a good question. This is what we were talking about. This is kind of provoking us to more thought, so we appreciate that.
Great question, Doug.
So if you have any questions for us, feel free to reach out at radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the Monday edition of Grace in Focus, we're going to talk about repentance and faith. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.